you got to do 400 closings. Who knows? You might get to the point where you're closing every one every day. You never know.
That'd be horrible.
Who knows? 6 months from now, you might just go to a closing every day and sell a house, and you'll have 400 in closings. There's only three. Hey, listen, you can do it in a little over a year. It's 365 days in a year. Well, back on the weekends.
Do a couple of days.
So let's say if you did 100 a year, it would take you 3.5 years.
It'd be crazy. And how would you 1031 that though?
Action, baby. All right, so what are we doing here?
We're doing a podcast.
We're doing a podcast. Where's the camera? Not him, Matt.
This is the one. That. Yeah, yeah.
All right. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good. It's your podcast, so you go for it.
Yeah, well, thanks for being on here with us.
Thanks for coming.
I appreciate it. How are things going right now?
All right, so basically, we have just gone through two hurricanes. That's how things are going.
It's horrible.
It is. I've never gone through something like this before, but, you know, it comes with the, what's the old saying?
Comes with the territory?
Comes with the territory.
Yeah.
And his territory has hurricanes.
Yeah. We were here about a month ago, and it was beautiful, but now,
ever since
looking at
you
the pool,
came, things have gone nothing but wrong for me.
That's all my fault then, huh?
Fucking bad luck.
Oh, that's crazy. No, so
yeah, I mean, this happens. So what are you going to do? You know, everything's up right now. You know, we got three major locations along the beach that are totally screwed up and not making no money and need a ton of repairs. And, you know, it's a big mess.
So which one got hit hardest? Was it John Pass? Or
they all got hit. You know, John's Pass got hit. You know, it's directly sitting on the water. All right. Mm. And I got a lot of tenants there. A lot of tenants are in distress right now. You know, it was a major hurricane. Oh, the flooding is what killed us. It wasn't the wind. The wind wasn't that bad. It was the water came up higher than they think they've seen in 100 years.
That's crazy.
So, you know, when that water, and I stood in a room. I was in a room down below in my house, in like a cabana room. And me and my wife were down there, and we're just getting all the furniture moved out of the room. Because out of nowhere, giant waves came in. And just, we could see, all right, you could see easily 4 feet of solid water coming up through the glass patio door, coming at us, and we're moving the furniture out, just waiting for it to come on in. And so, you know, it was pretty scary. I'd never seen that before.
And y'all were in the house during the hurricane.
We're moving
our furniture. Crazy.
I'm this close from the glass while I see all this water coming in because I didn't think it was going to be that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we've gone through hurricanes. I've been here for 20 years. We've gone through tons of hurricanes. You know, it is what it is, but we normally don't see water coming up 4 feet, you know, just solid coming at you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was crazy.
All right, so I saw in the video that your cars got messed up too.
Cars got flooded. House got flooded. Hotels got flooded. And we got a ton of garbage everywhere. All the landscape is dead because once the salt water hits it, you got to rip it all out.
Oh, I didn't think of that. That's crazy.
You know, it's a total mess. And just the sand removal alone is a major event. You know, mountains of sand that came out of the ocean onto your property. The water pushes all this sand. My whole pool is full of sand. You know
how
big
crazy.
My pool is?
It's
That's
huge.
A lot of sand.
It's huge.
So basically, it's a disaster, and we're doing the best we can. And every day, we're just trying to make more and more progress and prioritize what we got to get done. We got elevators down. We got hot water heaters down. We got lobbies down. Because everything on the second and third floor, I can still rent out. But I need operation working on the first floor. Mm. We got to get the lobby ready so we can bring people in and take them up to the second and third floor, even though the elevator ain't working. So then you got to apologize for that.
Yeah.
And then hopefully we got the internet working. I mean, but we got to get some revenue coming in. We're bleeding right now.
Yeah.
But that's life.
Yeah, and the problem is everyone in the area has got all the workers, too.
And everybody's doing, we're all doing the same right now. We got workers coming all the way from Chattanooga. But anyway, it is what it is. I got to deal with it. You know, I got no choice. Thank God my kids are doing the best they can. And our teams are put together and doing everything they can.
We
get hit in Tampa, luckily. We only had the power out there. I lost
That's
money
good.
Because of that. It was so desperate, we had to put people in rooms without power because they had nowhere to go. And, you know, and forget about shutting down. You know, the government sometimes says, oh, you got to shut down. I ain't putting people out in the street. They got nowhere to go. But luckily, it all worked out. We got our power back. Tampa's up and running because there's nowhere to stay around here for all the construction workers either.
Yeah.
All the hotels are up. So where are they going to stay?
You know, I didn't think of any of that. That's crazy.
Where'd you stay?
I was in Atlanta, Georgia.
You drove here?
No, we flew here.
We flew here? Uh-huh. Oh, and then you just drove from the airport?
Well, actually, no. I stayed at a friend's house.
Oh, a friend's house.
Where do you live at? Seminole.
Where'd everybody else stay at?
They all stayed there too.
Only this one house in Seminole. Yes, the guy with the old Lincoln has a little house in Seminole, and you all stayed there.
That's where we all stay.
Big spenders. Big spenders.
Yeah, so
the guy in Seminole comes in handy. He gives you a place to stay. He drives you around in an old mafia car, you know.
Yeah, and you said insurance is not going to cover a lot on the house.
Insurance is limited. Flood doesn't cover much. Hurricane is, you know, let me tell you. You know how hurricane works, you know, with big properties?
No, I don't. Okay,
so this is the way the hurricane insurance works. Number one, hurricane has nothing to do with the water coming in.
I didn't know that.
The only thing hurricane insurance covers is the wind and the rain. That's not rain. That's an influx of water. That's considered flood. Then you got a flood insurance. Nobody ever even sells a lot of flood insurance in high dollar amounts. Anyway, I had some flood insurance on the house, but it don't cover pools and patios. Mm-hmm. Those, it's only made and pretty much through the government for a program, because nobody wants to insure flood. No insurance company wants to.
No.
So the government said, well, if nobody's going to insure it, then we got to come in and give somebody something to, you know, protect people in the house. It's really made for people with small houses, you know, that get flooded. You know, just, you know, everything on our living floor is, you know, second floor above wasn't affected.
This is perfect.
So, you know, it's everything on only a ground floor, which eventually you're going to do away with. You can't even build on the ground floor anymore if you near any water. Anything new has got to go up high. But anyway, long story short, flooding, I mean, for a house, it's typically $250,000, and that only covers the interior. I didn't have much interior here. Plus, I'm on a certain elevation, they said, where I don't really, they didn't pay me, basically. That's what the guy told me.
Mm.
And he wasn't happy about telling me that. You know why?
Why?
Because he's an independent contractor that they hire to go out and do all these, you know, what do you call them? Adjuster. He gets paid as a private adjuster, and the bigger the claim, the more he makes.
That's right.
So he was almost crying to come here and see, I'm going to get maybe some cleaning money, they said. Anyway, I'm on my own. So I got to redo this whole place. Okay.
Crazy.
The boat, you know how hard it is to find somebody to fix up bowling alley? The whole floor in the bowling alley.
I was going to ask you about that. So what happened in the bowling alley? Did it buckle?
Luckily, the equipment was raised up above the floor.
Okay, well, that's good.
But not much.
Not much.
Maybe a foot. Water, whatever. Point was, it was mud and under the dam, and we cleaned it all out. Hopefully, it didn't affect too much the major machinery back there. Mm. We'll go take a look if you want later.
I'd love to see it.
You ever seen the back of a bowling machine?
No, I haven't.
This one's, I can't believe it takes up so much equipment for two lanes. You know, this looks like something that you would have to support a whole bowling alley. Mm. Anyway, I need to find a bowling alley technician. You know anybody?
I don't know anyone, no. We'll find someone. Bring someone from Georgia.
Maybe. Because Brunswick is Georgia.
That's true.
Is that where Brunswick comes from? Brunswick, Georgia, the big Brunswick company?
I think so. It does.
Holy, but the problem is they probably sold it to the Chinese how many years ago? Anybody here near Brunswick, Georgia? All right.
Actually, my grandma is.
All right. Call grandma up and say, listen, grandma, do you know anybody in the Brunswick family? Okay, we got a bowling alley we got to fix in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, we will.
All right, so yeah, I'm up right now with the hurricane. I'm just winging it best I can. You know, getting bled right now with no money coming in and tons of money going out. So that's what we're doing. And get the shit put back together.
Do you have any like banks reaching out to you, checking on the assets? Are you having to deal with them too? Or are they kind of stepping back still?
The banks, believe it or not, I was, you know, I didn't like this one bank at first. They inherited a loan that I had and bought out the other bank. And I wasn't that thrilled with them. But, you know, it turns out the one bank that I didn't care for actually called me up and said, listen, we know you're going through a rough time right now. Do you want to, what's the word? My oldest son knows.
Or randomly, like move it.
Defer.
Defer.
There's another word, but I'll use the word defer. Do you want to defer your payments, you know, for about 6 months till you get used together?
Oh, that's awesome.
And they'll just tack it on to the balance, you know, which, you know, was they reached out to me. And then I reached out. So once they did that, I reached out to the other banks and asked them for help too. But we'll see. Some banks aren't really affected, depending on the asset. It's really only affecting three of my assets. So, you know, it is what it is. But banks don't call me. Banks don't call me. I call them.
Yeah.
You know, they don't ever call me. I mean,
I wasn't sure if they were going to give you push by, hey, look, we know there's a storm. How's the assets and all of that stuff? So,
they know I'm more than capable of handling whatever needs to be handled. If I have a problem, I'll call them. But
that's true.
Basically, they just want their interest payment.
All of a sudden, you've had a tough 4 years because COVID, and then this. So back down. I know you said there's risk and reward, and this is the risk.
I mean, yeah, it's risking everything. You know, you can't stop this happening. I couldn't stop COVID. I couldn't stop hurricanes. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yeah.
You know, you always got to worry about something in life, and you have no control of this stuff. So
yeah. So I was curious, what's the biggest win and the biggest loss you've had?
In 30 plus years?
Mm-hmm, 30 plus. Like, what's the biggest chunk, the biggest equity piece?
I mean, you know, I've had some sizable deals, but I mean, and some people go that route. Like, I know guys, you know, you're only there with $40, $50 million deals. I got to make $10 million. And they only look at big deals.
Yeah.
And then by doing a big deal, you don't have to do so many deals.
That's right.
And that's a great route for people. Me, I just constantly doing deals, you know, because, you know, you can get a lot in quantity. All right. Those guys are buying quality. I'm buying quantity. But I'll take it anywhere and get it. If a big deal comes my way and I can afford to do the deal, I'm going to do it.
That's right.
I mean, you know, I've had deals where I've made, you know, I bought hotels and went in and, you know, for $17 million, George Steinbrenner used to own it here in Tampa.
Oh, wow.
Yankees should stay there. And then basically bought that for $17 million. The money generated from the hotel revenue fixed up the hotel for another $5 million over a couple of years. Uh-huh. And then flipped it for double.
Oh, wow.
That was probably one of the biggest deals. I mean, I've sold big packages. I don't know. A year and a half ago, we sold $100 million almost to Starwood Capital, you know, because they know we're operators. We're good operators.
Was that the apartment?
Yeah, apartment. They bought out my affordable housing division. Wow. I had an affordable housing division. Anyway, they came in. They wanted to buy some affordable housing. They, you know, we have a reputation of running clean and right. And they looked at everything, and they made me a decent offer. So we sold out of a whole department, which we like being in. That's the sector we prefer.
Yeah.
And now we're looking for more. Plus, my kids are looking to build. So basically what I'm doing right now is, you know, I'm balancing a portfolio. On top of this hurricane, you know, I got hundreds of millions of dollars worth of real estate I'm trying to sell. I got Home Depots. I got Lowe's. I got all those triple H that I ran and hid to.
Yeah, yeah.
To preserve my 1031.
Yeah.
And to cut down on my management because we're only a small company.
What is your basis? I imagine it's like almost...
My base is extremely low. Every asset has different bases, but typically, you know, it's like, you know, let's say tomorrow I wanted to sell a $10 million asset. Mm-hmm. My base is probably only two. So if I sell it for $10 million, I got to gain eight.
Yeah.
Eight times 23.8%, thanks to Obama.
Yeah.
Okay, you calculate it. All right.
Yeah,
luckily, we got no state tax.
That's right.
Anyway, it is what it is, you know, but, you know, every day I'm trying to move stuff. I'm trying to sell hotels. I'm also looking for deals. I'm getting ready to bid on an auction on some property that came up that I'm aware of. You know, in fact, there's another one I'm going to get an offer on. I mean, I'm always looking. I'm always buying. I'm always selling. And then I got to worry about, you know, when my loans are coming due, what properties need to be refinanced. You know, I mean, what properties should I finance? Maybe I pay cash for them. I'm always juggling all kinds of stuff. Trying to balance, it's like a balancing act, you know? And then hurricanes come and just set everything, and I'm still trying to juggle. It's like you're juggling, you know, the juggler's juggling these balls, and then all of a sudden he's juggling three, four, five balls, and somebody throws two more at him, you know? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's going to make it go crazy. So in the next 5 years, whenever you, are you going to end up just selling everything at one time one day, or are you going to just always 1031?
It's hard to say, you know? Yeah. You know, luckily, I don't know. Would I want to retire tomorrow? I'd like to take a strong break. If my kids need me, I'll never retire.
My kids need me.
They pick up the phone. They call me wherever I'm at. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I want to get the portfolio, but I don't want to lead them with a mess.
Absolutely.
I want to get that portfolio in a position where they can take it and run it and grow. Right now, there's a lot of little things you got to fine tune in a portfolio. Mm-hmm. You know, all right, what's the cash flow on this property? Well, all right, it's okay. But what else, we pull our equity out and we put it into something better? You know, would that make more sense? You know, and now is the time to just get away from all this stuff and move back into apartments. You know, apartments going to come down. I mean, you know, you don't know. You know, and if the deals pop up, you want to have the capital to buy them.
Are you guys having trouble finding deals right now?
Yeah, everybody's in trouble finding deals. It's hard to find good deals.
Yeah.
You know, because the market's in a weird place right now. You know, everybody got their ultra in shock from the interest rates going up. I'm still waiting. I'm basically here and waiting.
Yeah.
I believe that a lot of people borrowed money and fixed it. That was smart. But in the fours. Let's say the fours.
Yeah.
Several years ago.
All right.
Commercial loans don't last that long.
3, 5 years.
Guys like me, we borrow 3, 5, 7, 10. Yeah. You know, depending on the asset and, you know, interest only, things like that. So basically, most of the people I think borrow like that. I mean, you know.
Yeah, with a balloon.
I mean, you, of course, you got your Fannie Mae's and your
Freddie Mac's.
Your insurance company loans and all that. They go out longer, but even they don't go out that long. It's not like a 30-year mortgage, basically.
Yeah, it's not a 30-year
mortgage. All right.
Yeah, that's right.
So basically, these loans are coming due. There is no way at the new rate that they got to refinance at, it's going to double their payments to the sevens.
Yes.
So there's no way that the cash flow is going to be able to support that.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do now? All right, here we go. The guys will say, well, you know, this place was bought and appraised and given loan funding from the bank at a certain rate.
That's right.
Okay, now the rate's a lot higher. So that means all the money that you get is now going to go either to the bank or you could go negative.
Yeah, cash in refinance or negative. Yeah.
If your rate's going from 3.5 to 7, your payment's doubling no matter what.
That's
you can
right.
look at it a million different ways. If you're paying $10,000 a month for that note, you're now paying $20.
Oh, that's
crazy. And your principal might go up too, I think. I'm not
so
sure.
You think a lot's going to flood the market eventually?
I believe they're going to get to this point soon where either people are going to swallow, I don't know. I can't imagine when these loans come due, the banks are going to say, well, what are you going to do now? All right, you can't refinance, so what are you going to do? You got to buy down some principal.
Cash in.
Has debt ratios. The bank has all kinds of compliance and criteria they got to meet to do the loan. You know, so what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Buy down the principal, sell the property, hopefully get enough to pay the bank back and then some.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, something's going to have to trigger.
Yeah.
You know, and there's always going to be a percentage of people that just say,
and let it go.
Because if we're partners and you're going to say, I'm not going to kick in no money, you know, to buy down a mortgage, so I can't do it myself, then, you know, what do we do? You just walk away. I don't know. Depends. Is it a non-recourse loan? If it's a non-recourse loan, you're going to see a lot of non-recourse loans
just
go away.
That's right.
They're going to get auctioned off, or they're going to be sold to buddies or whatever. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, but it could be a big correction in the market. There should be. We just wait for those low-interest rate loans to expire.
That's right. Have you had to do any of those buy-in, the principal, and cash and refinance? Or
no, I haven't. But
that's good.
I got.
You said you're doing on a variable rate.
I didn't fix all my back when the times were great.
Yeah.
You know, I fixed a little. I didn't fix enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have fixed probably back then, and I don't know if I could push the threes, but maybe I know I could have
low
fixed
fours.
It four.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Under 4. 3.5, 3.7, 3.9. Things were that good. That was at a prime. When I was paying practically one adjustable.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, but I didn't want to pay the extra 2 points or whatever it was, point and a half. So I rolled my dice and just said, well, if it keeps going up, I'll just have to lock in it or whatever. So the point is now, I have now.
Are they still
back,
variable?
No, I went back and I said, well, this, I bled for like, what, 2 years?
Uh-huh,
I bled with high interest rates up around 6.5 and maybe pushing 6.8. And now I went back and just
fixed
everything at about 5.25 on average.
Okay.
Interest only for 3 years. I only borrow short term. You know, because in 3 years, I got to make up my mind what I'm going to do with that property. Am I going to keep it? Then fine, I might refinance it. But typically, I might sell it. You know, I don't know. It depends on the property. Some properties I buy a value add. Some I buy like a Harley Davidson dealership. And I got nothing to do with it. Just sits there.
Just leave it.
Put some money in my bank account every month. I pay the bank. And whatever's left is mine.
Yeah.
Every asset's different, you know.
Yeah, every single one. All right, real quick, let me pivot over to personal branding. So how I first heard about you was on YouTube. What made you get into doing personal branding and kind of going the influencer route?
Listen, I don't know. All I know is we fooled around on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And what happened was it was fun at first. But the difference between me, and I'm not trying to wave no flags, the difference between me and anybody else I've seen or heard of or know of, I have no agenda except to try to help people.
Yeah.
I'm showing what I'm doing. If you think it's funny watching some big, fat, rich guy go around and manage all this real estate that started from nothing, way below nothing, okay, I like to show people that, yes, they can do it too. I actually enjoy helping people because it's a personal satisfaction money can't buy. I've helped so many people All right, yeah. If they call me up to consult, you know, the guy that runs the channel and all that shit's got to make a few bucks off them, fine. Mm-hmm. But the point is, you know, we're not selling no course. Not yet, unless real estate goes really bad. And I'm going to be going, you need to buy Ben Mello's course in real estate because I was doing really good, but I stopped. And now I'm selling courses. I mean, it might get to that point. Who knows? Yeah.
What do you think about all the gurus out there,
though? I mean, listen, the point is this. If somebody feels they need motivation and something or listening to somebody or watching something, if they get any kind of satisfaction from anybody, okay, that motivates them to get off their ass and try to better themselves and make some money, then I think it's a great thing.
Yeah.
Okay. That's true. So, you know, me, I try to motivate people. I try to educate people. And I try to give them some little entertainment and laugh.
You know. Do great with that, too.
Well, you know, that's we just real. We don't phony anything up. We don't really stage nothing ever. We just, you know, and listen, as long as people are going to keep watching, we'll keep doing it.
That's awesome.
But we ain't hit a million yet. Figure that out.
Oh, you're right there, though. You're right.
991,000 or, you know, 990s for months. You can't make it to a million. If you can't make it to a million, you just didn't make it, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
So right now, I ain't made it.
Oh, you're about to.
I consider a million like the mark. Oh, like, yeah, okay. A million subscribers on YouTube. I'm out. You know, at least they could say that and be, you know, back it up. I can't back that up.
Yeah. Well, you have helped a lot of people. You're the reason I tried to get into Triple Net. And then actually, this guy right here, you learned all your terminology from it, didn't you?
Learned what a cap rate is. I didn't know what it was before I started watching Ben.
So he got into real estate because of you. So he was,
He always thought that the cap rate meant, you know, what are the average caps going for? What's the rate on that cap right there with that sports team on it? Right here, what's the rate on that?
Yeah. But, no, well, I think it's great.
I mean, you know, listen, helping people is great. You know, I've got stories I could tell you where, you know, it really hit me. You know, people told me stories that, you know, I felt like, oh my God, I had such an impact on this person. I can't believe it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to hear a quick story?
Yeah, let me hear.
All right. So I'm at one of my, I did some shows. I mean, during COVID, hotels were empty. What did I do? We're going to do a show. So we did a show and we call it the RAW, Real Estate RAW. We do like a class. We don't get up there and just, we do a class, me and my sons, from A to Z, you know, Real Estate 101.
I love it.
And we invite people in, and they rented rooms in the hotels, and I made enough money to pay the power bill that month. In a big, giant 250-60 room hotel. I did them in Orlando. I did them in Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. I did them in Tampa. I was going to do one, but then the hurricane came. I was going to do one. The hurricane did up. So I had some little guy come up to me at one of these big events, you know? Mm-hmm. And the guy couldn't be like more than 5 feet tall. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I wouldn't put this guy. Because number one, I spent 18 years in California, and he was a real live little Spanish-Mexican guy, tattoos and on his face and all this crap. And this guy looked like he would just go.
He'd get you.
What they do is they'll turn into a Tasmanian devil on your ass. But luckily, he looked like everything he was telling me, you know, I knew was true. He was telling me, yo, man, I used to bang, you know, I used to sell dope. I didn't take care of my wife and kids, you know, and just getting up all the time. And I started watching you. And now I said this, I knew a bunch of, I started with crack houses.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he went up and started trying to buy the worst places in the world in this neighborhood. I think it was somewhere in Southern California.
Oh, wow.
Real rough ass places that nobody would go to. Of course, he was fine to go there because he was tough, you know. And he bought some and he started fixing them up just like I did. And he started renting them. He even rented a Section 8. He rented some Section 8. Yeah. Well, who's not going to pay him to rent anyway?
Yeah.
And now he has he had three, you know, duplexes and some fourplexes. And he's taking care of his family. And basically, he looked me dead in the face, even though he had to look up because I was a little taller. And he goes, you saved my life.
Yeah.
He said, I'd be dead right now. Similar story to me, because growing up in New York, I'd be dead by now. I mean, he said, I'd be dead, I'd be shot, I'd be in jail, dead, whatever. And you turn my whole life around just because you told me your story, and then I applied it to mine.
Oh, yeah, so Todd, yeah.
You know, so that was really serious, you know. And I've had a lot of people, you know, come to me. You know, people, I mean, we did a video with the guy. I mean, it blew me away. The guy was born with multiple sclerosis, and he's a total quadriplegic. You don't watch my videos. That's your problem.
I haven't seen that one yet.
I don't see that one. Because you don't watch him.
I do watch him.
You don't watch him. And you missed a guy in a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. Comes to have a private meeting with me. This guy has no arms or legs. He's in a wheelchair. Okay?
Wow.
He's using his phone with his tongue and his nose. And he owns real estate and wanted to have a private meeting with me.
Yeah, what do you say about that? No excuse for not getting into real estate.
I had the best personality I've ever seen in my life. We were joking, everything. I was feeding them French fries because you couldn't eat them.
Oh, man.
I mean, anyway, helping people is a big thing, and I like it. That's like the real drive, you know, knowing that I'm really helping people. People watch it, they like it, you know, and all that. There you go.
One thing I like about you is you're genuine. What you see is what you get, though. A lot of people online are not that real. Like you said.
Because, you know, they're YouTubers. I'm not a YouTuber. Yeah. I'm just a guy in real estate doing YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this as a career. I don't do it for the money.
Oh, no.
I mean, yeah. I like the money. Some people can make some money. I'm not going to deny it. The money's nice, you know. Keeps my wife shopping. but, you know, the point is that, you know, I'm not foolish. You know, if I tell you something, you could take it to the bank.
Yeah.
And
cash
it. That's what I used to tell my kids. I say, you better take my advice, okay? Mm-hmm. Because if I tell you something, you can take it to the bank and cash it. And then they would always, you know, listen to what I said, hopefully.
And it sounds like they have.
My kids are great. You know, my kids are great. They're out there busting their ass. They've been doing their whole lives.
At what point did they start?
When I die, they're going to take over. And, you know, plus they're partners already.
At what point did you make it a family business? Or did they grow
ever
up?
Ever since they were able to work.
Yeah.
You know, it was this thing. Listen, little Ben was riding around. He'd take my big old black Mercedes when I was in California. Uh-huh. And, you know, he was like, just got his license, 16, whatever. He'd take the weed eater. He'd take the blower. He had a big trunk and a big Mercedes, you know. He fit two bodies in those things. It was the 560 SEL.
Oh, the big one.
And this is back in the 1980s, 90s. Mm. So he put all the tools in the trunk, and then we lived like in the middle of the hill there, right above the bottom of Oakland, which was very dangerous.
Oh, that's
where we had apartments.
Spot, yeah.
And he'd go drive down here, go to the apartment building, 16, whatever. And but he was always smart. All right. I'm going to tell it like it is. He had this one, well, all our friends were black because it was a black neighborhood. But he had this one, he always took his black friend with him. But nobody put him because they knew I was a landlord. Mm. Even the drug dealers didn't put him.
Yeah.
They knew I was a landlord and they didn't put us because they knew I was, I don't know. It's not that I was a tough guy. I wasn't a tough guy. I'd rather get along with people.
Yeah,
it's easy to get along with somebody than just to fight with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's why.
So, you know, you got to just understand everybody's perspective. You know, put yourself in their shoes and, you know, for a minute, you know, and try to look at the whole situation. So anyway, long story short, he'd get in there, he'd go weed eat and blow and clean up the fronts of the apartment buildings.
Oh, he put in the work.
And then, you know, he went to college.
Yeah.
And he just partied for a year. You know, he was a smart kid, but he just mostly partied. I went up there to visit him, and he's sitting in college up in, he picked the college he picked. You know what the basis for him picking his college was?
What was that?
Because it was the one where they filmed Girls Gone Wild. That was his basis for picking a college. So he goes to Chico State in California because the Girls Gone Wild was filmed there. That's where he wants to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I go up there after about a year or whatever, first semester, whatever you call it. And I said, these are not grades. This is like a joke, okay? And then his furniture was actually made out of beer kegs with boards on them. That was where you sat down. And he moved like three times in 1 year, and he's only a freshman. There's something wrong with this picture here, all right? And so anyway, long story short, I said, you know what, college? This is not for college. I never went one day to high school.
I didn't know that.
Not one day. Not one day to ever walk in high school.
Mm. So you ended like eighth grade?
Because I already knew how to get high. In New York, you know, that's what they taught you, you know. So anyway, basically, you know, a little bit, you know, he was part. I said, you know what, this ain't for you. You need to just pack up what little you got. Not the bong. Ship your car to Florida. I just bought a building here. This is when I was in California. I was commuting from San Francisco to Clearwater.
I didn't know you were in San Francisco.
I had some crazy red-eye flight at night that would take me from San Francisco to Little Clearwater Airport on ATA Airlines overnight flight. And I'd fucking be like, no money. Me and my wife would get on there and come here and I'd work here. Anyway, I told him, go to this address. We just bought this apartment building. And he just moved into the apartment building, took it over. he didn't know much about management. You know,
he
knew the basics. Basically, because, you know, growing up around me, you knew you collect fucking rent, and if the tenant's got a problem, you fix the fucking problem. What the hell is there? Pay the bills. Yeah. So basically, you know, that's what he did at the age of about 19, and he's been hustling ever since. I mean, you know,
yeah,
saved my ass many times.
Oh, man. And he's the one doing the new construction now, right? He did the outparcel.
He tested the water and doing a couple of retail buildings. Okay. He's done real well. Now they want to build affordable housing in the state of Florida, which is really smart.
Yeah.
Or you can do it with the counties or the cities, too. They have different programs.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, right now he's running my whole company, and he's great. And Vincent's right there. Vincent's more like – Ben's more like the back office. Ben can do both.
I
gave it to him. Yeah, Ben can do both. I've sent Ben to some of the worst assignments you can imagine when he was very young.
Three years
he had to go spend in Pasadena, Texas, right outside of Houston, because I missed a big shot by 1,000 apartments on one block. Richie Road, I'll never forget, or Richie Street.
Wow.
And I had 10 100 buildings. And because it was used to be housing
to
the oil refinery workers.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, still an oil refinery town,
but
no workers because computers do everything. So it eliminated all the workers. And now, you know, you have like, you can run a whole plant with 3 or 4 people, I think. So basically, I just rented the apartments to whoever I could, locals, Mexican, whatever. And he had spent 3 years there. It was very tough, very tough. I thought I was getting a really good deal, but I didn't do my homework.
Oh,
you know, Texas
man.
Is a different place. Listen, when you go to a new area, you got to know that area.
Yeah.
You got to really do your homework because everything will work the same everywhere. Like Florida is definitely not Louisiana.
No, it's not. Yeah,
okay?
That's right.
Where are you from?
I'm from Georgia, Atlanta.
Georgia, right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Georgia, they're in their own world too.
But, they are.
So that's
the landlord laws are good in Georgia, though.
Landlord laws are good?
Are they pretty good here in Florida, too? But
here
you wouldn't
Florida's
go to,
real simple. You don't, wait, don't pay you. You can get rid of somebody processing an eviction, you know, in 30 days.
Yeah, but not in California, New York.
California, I left California because of that reason. Mm-hmm. I left California because it would cost me 6 months to a year in rent pay the mother to leave.
Oh, gosh. Cash for keys.
Because of the politics. And the way that California is run. And me, I'm right next to Berkeley. I had Berkeley lawyers and San Francisco lawyers with me.
Oh, wow.
Representing the poor people. I had criminals that I had to go to court with criminals when they got busted in the apartments even. The world doesn't make sense there. Real estate does not make sense in California. I'm sorry.
No, it doesn't. So I have a personal question. So I'm getting married November 2nd. So real soon. Yeah, I appreciate it. What do you do right now to balance your wife, your kid, the business, have alone time, you know, personal time and friends? And how do you juggle that?
I mean, you know, everybody's different. You know, how old are you?
37.
37.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you know, at 37, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to start, you know, like when you're in your 30s, young 30s, your 20s, and all that. Listen, the most important thing is making money. If this that time is. And that day for you to be out there hustling and making money, you do it. Everything else takes a back seat. My kids always laugh. Because with me, it was literally true. I remember driving around the whole city of Oakland. I had a duplex here, a triplex here. I had over here going on. I'm all over the city. And where are my kids? Little boys
back
in the back seat.
Yeah.
Riding around, you know, eating their McDonald's Happy Meals. And I don't know, maybe back then, they didn't have phones.
But they got to see dad working.
You know, they were with me. Well, that was entertainment for them, too.
Yeah.
In fact, they really enjoyed it. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I remember one quick story. Vincent already left. So Vincent was about seven years old, whatever the fuck he was. He always had a smart mouth on him. You know?
He still does today.
So we pull up to this old Victorian house, and we pull up there, had a guy painting it, getting it ready. You know, there was a tenant there, probably getting ready to refinance or whatever. Got my Section 8 tenant in there, and lady living there with about, you know, how many kids. So we're there, we pull up. Because every Friday I have to go around and write people checks to pay them.
That's right.
They're working for me. So I pull up, same old thing, I had a big checkbook, you know, the binder with the checks in it. I put it on the hood. I write the checks on my hood in my car out in the street, you know, while the guy's working, how much I owe him. And the lady comes out, and she was a big African American woman. Big woman. And I loved her. Don't get me wrong. I love my tenants. I got along with all my tenants. We had a ball.
Yeah.
You know, they loved me. I've had tenants go to court. That I was evicting.
That loved you.
That told the judge, Your Honor, I don't care if he's evicting me. He's the best landlord I ever had. I mean, yeah. I love my tenants.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, long story short, lady comes out the door and Aaron Vincent's standing next to me and writing the check. And she goes out, write me a 50. Write me a 50 means write me a $50 check, right?
Yeah.
I want to buy a new radio, I think she said or something. No, write me a 30. Back then it wasn't 50.
Write you a 30?
Write me a 30. Write me a 30.
Yeah.
He meant write me a $30 check. And Vincent looks at it and he looks at me and he says it way loud enough for her to hear. Write her a 30-day notice. And that lady got so pissed, the little kid told her to write her 30 days. She walked in the house and slammed the door and she went out. Give her give me a 30. Give her a 30-day notice. Oh my God. Anyway, where were we?
I was asking, how do you balance your family?
Oh, the family? Yeah, I mean, you know, as I got older, maybe 37, I still was taking on anything I had to do work-wise. But, you know, I've always, I mean, you know, if you're married, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have a,
nobody set work, time.
I mean, listen, let's be honest. I don't know about you, but, you know, you got a wife. Okay. You ain't got no kids, right?
No kids.
Okay. So you got a wife. Does she work?
No, she doesn't work.
Okay. What's she going to do all day?
Pain, hanging out with friends.
And it depends on a woman. You know, my wife, listen, when I was hustling, my wife, she just went with the flow.
She
went with the flow and she supported me every way she could, you know, and she understood that the family business comes first and all that, but she was very supportive. Mm-hmm. My wife was always worried about everybody's birthdays and parties and dinners and kids and schools and house. And, you know, she handled that whole part of my life. You ain't got all that. It's just me, you, and her, right?
Yeah, it's just me and her. So she handles all the personal stuff in the house, and you handle all the business.
Does she cook?
She does.
All right, well, there you go.
It's okay.
So you got to have dinner, see, you know, whatever. I mean, you're going to have to balance your life if you want a real relationship.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have time with you know, with your wife and stuff, but don't give it too much time. You know, you got to balance it.
You got to balance it, okay.
You know, and compromise.
That's true. And she's, your wife's from Mexico?
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's Costa Rican, so you have a Latina wife, too.
Yeah. All Latinos aren't the same.
They're different.
Mexico is over here. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of Latin country, Latin America is all
way
the
down.
Strip all along the air. And I know those people on those strips, you got to, I'm not saying they're
each
all bad.
Each one's different, yeah.
But you got to watch them. All right? It don't take you long to figure out a Mexican if you can trust them or not.
Yeah.
They can just tell you right off the bat. Mm-hmm. But they're sneaky. The Azilians. All those countries that go all the way down that strip, they're sneaky. And I know a lot of them. And I like a lot of them. You know, you got to get banned.
You
got to
watch. You got to watch.
You got to watch. You know? All right. So basically, what was the name of that Mexican painter? The famous
Mexican
one. I watched a movie on her. You know, you don't know anything about art, do you?
No, I don't. She's the
artist. Opposites do work. Me and my wife are 100% opposite in every way. Plus, you know, let's face it, okay? Yeah. You can also look at it this approach. All right, you know, she's a woman, all right?
Yeah.
Fine. You know, you need to see her. Basically, you know, you need to see her for, you eat with her 30 minutes a day.
Okay.
And you sleep with her 30 minutes a day. What else is there to being married?
I'm just kidding. Hanging out with her, vacation.
I'm in trouble with that. Basically, a wife is an hour a day. You sit down, you have dinner, and then, you know, you spend 30 minutes, whatever. You know, before you go to sleep, and there you go. That's marriage.
Mm, that's right.
You treat a woman as part of your schedule.
Okay. And then you take the kids with you to work. That's kind of how it is.
Well, if they're not in school or if they're out of school,
Yeah.
But, you know, you can have kids.
I hope so. I want like two or three.
Two or three kids.
I think that'd be fun.
Very good.
You had all boys.
I had all boys.
Yeah, but then you said
I raised a girl. I raised my sister-in-law as my daughter.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, but I've raised a lot of kids, you know, nieces, nephews, stuff like that.
And she's the one that does hotels, isn't she?
She takes care of all the hotels on the Pinellas County beachside. Mm-hmm. And Huppy, her ex-professor from college, takes care of everything in Tampa.
Oh, that's right. You said the teacher that taught her about hotels.
I didn't want to go to school for hotels, so basically.
Yeah.
I put the girl, we all did apartments. That's all we did. We had apartments everywhere. I say, okay, Brenda, go. We trained her or whatever. Go sit in this apartment building. It was 144 units right here on Gandy Boulevard in St. Pete. You're going to be the manager of that building.
Oh, wow.
So she goes over there. You know, I'm a little bad. I'm sure it tells her what they're going to do and all that. She's there like a few days, a week. I can't do this. This is too boring.
Yeah, she likes bored. Active.
She's said, the rents are collected. There's no maintenance to fix. There's nothing to do. What am I supposed to do? Go shopping? Nope. Ding, ding, ding. let's find you something else new. Yeah, I want to go to school for hotels. I need some action.
Active, yeah.
She's Mexican. Anyway, so
yeah.
She went to school locally for hotels and met Happy, who was a professor in charge of the hotel education program there. Mm-hmm. And then I bought a small hotel on the sand and said, okay, fine, go to school. She introduced me to a professor. You and your professor manage this hotel. So now you're working at the hotel and you're going to school.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same time. So that worked. And then she graduated with her master's and she knows everything there is to know about walking into a hotel. And
it's more active for her. So it keeps her busy.
Any brand, anything. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Yeah, it keeps her busy.
What else?
What else?
Let's talk about you.
What do you want to know about me?
What are you doing? All right. What are you really trying to accomplish here?
Me? I told you my problem last time. I have 400 single family. I want to be able to 1031
That's
and go to
you
commercial.
Have 400 single family houses.
I do. And they're all under
400
different
400
roofs.
400 refrigerators. 400 stoves and toilets.
That's right.
All spread out.
All spread out.
God bless you.
Yeah, I know. Because you started in single family. What was your transition
it's great
like?
Great. And if you made money on it.
Yeah.
But your exit plan is the problem.
That's the hard part, to go to the next.
Because nobody wants 400 houses unless you sell them really cheap, and you're not. So you're going to have to, I don't know. You know, you might, honestly, let's look at it this way. Mm-hmm. If you put them all on the market
as one
retail.
Portfolio.
No.
Oh, I mean, retail.
If you could, great, but nobody's going to want to pay a bit when you want.
That's
probably.
Right, that's right.
If you put them all retail on the regular, give it an opportunity to every Joe Schmo that can afford one house. Right? Just put them all on a market. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
You got to do 400 closings. Who knows? You might get to the point where you're closing every one every day. You never know.
That'd be
you
horrible.
Know, who knows? 6 months from now, you might just go to a closing every day and sell a house. And you'll have 400 closings. There's only three. Hey, listen, you can do it in a little over a year. It's 365 days a year. Well, back on the weekends.
Do a couple
right?
of days.
So let's say you did, you know, let's say if you did 100 a year. It would take you 3.5 years.
It'd be crazy. And how would you 1031 really? That, though? That's the problem.
You would get so good at it where, listen, if you had a lawyer like I had, you wouldn't even go to the closing.
You just sign a letter.
You give him a power of attorney to sign as long as the numbers are approved.
That's right. That's right.
I've done multi-million-dollar closings out of the country.
Yeah, but how am I going to 1031 all of that? That's
you can't.
The problem.
Your time
you just got to take the hit.
Your time will be all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, that's crazy. That's my big issue, really.
But the problem is this. The thing is this. Mm-hmm. Nothing's perfect.
Yeah.
You accomplished owning 400 homes.
Yeah.
Now you just got to figure out the best exit plan. Mm-hmm. Not a bad problem to have. A lot of people, imagine if you didn't have 400 homes, what would you be doing?
Oh,
you'd still be working at Sears.
Yeah, I did Taekwondo schools, karate schools.
Karate,
Yeah, karate, yeah. That has
I'm a jiu-jitsu.
I can see that, actually.
So, all right, well, you know, we got to figure that out. I mean, you know, maybe you sold chunks of it off. You ain't got to sell it off right away. Mm. You know, maybe try to, you know, portion it out. Put the whole thing out there.
Yeah.
Right? Put the whole thing out there.
Just put it in little.
And then whoever you're working with as your salesperson, let them market it where they can buy pieces in blocks. Blocks, block offers. You can tell them, put it out there. It's like me. I told my broker, put out $200 million in retail, but of course we'll look at individual
Individual
offers.
At a time. That's not a bad idea. I guess in my mind, I was just thinking, how am I going to
sell for you? You got a broker?
I have a good broker in Georgia.
What's the radius on those things?
Well, there's a bunch up north and there's a bunch down south, but nothing in the middle. So it's
different states?
No, all in Georgia. All in Georgia.
Oh, that Georgia home portfolio.
One big portfolio.
You might find some crazy, what's his name?
The Reeds?
No, get that house hacker. Kevin, what's his name?
Meet Kevin.
I'm getting him on the phone right now. Kevin, you want to buy 400 houses in Georgia or what? You want to hack that? Can you hack that off? Meet Kevin. he's actually a nice guy.
Yeah, like tell him it's better landlord state than California, where he's at, too.
What?
It's better landlord state than California, too. So he'll be able to do it.
Who are you going to work with? How did you acquire? Well, who's
I went straight to sellers. Huh? I did a lot of seller financing. 90% was all creative financing.
All right.
I went straight to
sellers. You still got seller financing?
Yes, sir.
How about going to a... Do you need money?
No.
You don't need no money right now to buy anything?
No, I could go cash or refinance. I did do that on some. But a lot of them still are seller financing.
All right. Put the whole package out there and see... Mm-hmm. A good broker can piece it together, maybe. Tell them, listen, don't bring me no office for less than 50 houses.
I like that.
That's what I would do. Who do you like working with?
There's a guy named Brian Myler. I'll give him a shout out in Georgia. Brian Myler.
What does he work for?
Oh, man, what does he work for? He just moved companies. He was with Caldwell, but he moved to something else now.
No.
Yeah.
No. You got to go to people that move that kind of shit. Somebody that's got a history of doing it. Mm-hmm. All right, you got to go... And you need to go, if I was you.
Who would you go to?
Direct to any, I'd start my own hometown. Does Marcus and Millichap, I know everybody's got an Atlanta office.
Yeah, they
Marcus and Millichap, CBRE, Colliers, JLL. I don't think they do apartments. Yeah. They do apartments.
We do.
Arcadia, Franklin Street. All right.
Do they do good on single family stuff, though?
Doesn't matter because it's a big number.
That's right.
It's a big amount of assets, and I'm sure somebody's done it before. Or somebody, not 400. I've seen, Blackstone went out and bought, packages of hundreds of houses. That is, sorry they did, because they probably overpaid and they didn't realize the management nightmare. But somebody's selling those type of packages. You got to get in that circle and that network of people that already know who the players are. Yeah. That's the way it works.
I was hoping some kind of REIT would want to come in and buy.
You need to shop around.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to go, number one, try to find a broker online at one of their sites, that
have a good
has
buddy
sold
that's in
a package of houses for sale. I've seen them.
Yeah, there's a couple in Atlanta, Marcus and Millichap.
Or
friends.
You could also call up anybody on the team in that office.
That's right.
And say, hey, this is my story. I got 400 houses in Georgia I want to sell. What do you think? Or if you don't, anybody in your company ever done that before?
Yeah.
There you go. You got to network with call all six of the biggest guys and see. Because you never know. Let me tell you something. I can't tell you the number of times I picked up the phone. I called my Marcus and Millichap guy in Fort Lauderdale or Boca, wherever he's at. And I said, listen, I'm thinking about selling this property. You want to put it on the market? The next day. The offer's on my table from a buyer here.
Oh,
man. Fucking knows.
I'm going to reach out to him.
Got to get in that circle, man.
Yeah.
You got to get in that network.
It's because we did seller financing, so we always went directly to the sellers. So I need to build that network. I always went straight to the sellers because we bought seller finance mainly.
Doesn't matter. The guy coming in is taking everybody out. Yeah. He's paying everybody off, giving your portion, pay back your debt, and you go into a 1031, and you live happily ever after. You better think about what your rock bottom number is, because if somebody come around and buy all 400 from you,
you need to
tell a broker, but you better know your rock bottom. You better look at, God forbid, I can't 1031 at all.
That's right.
All right? What's my tax bill going to be? How much equity am I going to walk away with from the table? What are my closing costs? Think about, all right, if I took, right now, you always got to think like this, and you got big like yours to sell. You got to say, if a guy sits down, looks me dead in the face, and puts a hard-ass contract pretty much the money on the table, and the deal's done, what's my rock bottom? Always have that secret number in the back of your head.
Okay.
What's your rock bottom?
Yeah.
And you can net and walk away. You got closing costs? I don't know. Does Georgia charge for dock stamps like Florida do? We don't have state tax. We got all these other taxes that kick your ass.
Yeah.
People say, oh, you're in Florida. You don't pay no taxes. Oh, you're rich. You don't pay taxes.
They charge you on everything else.
You want to see the dock stamps I got to pay to the county and the state? And all the other dates to it. And anyway, property taxes are crazy here. You know what the property tax bill is in this house right now?
What is it?
$270,000 a year.
Ooh, that's crazy.
I can't homestead.
LLC. You can't homestead here?
LLC. You can, but I don't.
What is this house worth now?
I don't know. I don't want to. Why would you ask me that question? This is the worst time to ask you what my house is worth right now. Used to be worth, I would take less than $30 million back before the hurricane. And that's after I come in and make the picture perfect.
Yeah.
When I take 28, somebody showed me $28 million. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's what the house is going for based on the comps. Now, yeah. Who knows? I'm not even thinking about it. Right now, I'm just going
to
keep that machine working and clean this place up. So anyway, where are we at? 400 houses. What are you going to do? You gonna see? I mean, your cash flow is okay.
What's your cash flow
right now? In your pocket, cash, before you pay tax.
Well, probably $200,000 to $300,000.
So, okay, you got $200,000 to $300,000. You're talking about $3+ million a year, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then you got to pay tax, right? Mm-hmm. All right, you depreciate a lot of that, right?
I do, yes, sir.
Okay, but even then, you're still going to be paying tax on whatever. All right, mm-hmm. You got to figure out what's your bottom line right now in your pocket after mm-hmm. tax, and then that'll help you determine how much you need to sell
it for. How much I need to sell it for, that's right.
And then you can always say, well, if I get the money and I can't 1031, maybe you can't.
What would be my hit?
What's my tax hit going to be? And what's the rest of the money left going to get me at 5% sitting in a tax-free muni bond?
Well, that's another. So whenever you went from California, because you had properties there, single family, were you able to 1031 those?
There I was easy. Yeah, there I was easy because we always have a deal yet. I took the bottom of the barrel. I had the right timing. I was in the right place. Bad neighbor didn't bother me. I could always find that it was a bunch of happening back then. Foreclosures, all kinds. I could always end up buying some, so I got lucky. Basically, it was luck.
So in 5 years from now, do you think that you want to simplify and come into like yacht life? I remember you mentioned something about
yacht life. Right now, I'm just planning the next week to clean this mess up. I mean, hopefully, I'm going to just phase out, adjust my portfolio. My kids are going to grow, do whatever they want. They can smell a deal in a minute. All right? They know how to look. But right now, they're operating. So, but you know, with me, it doesn't matter. I'm going to get older, and I'm just going to phase out. Get on my boat. But they'll call me if they need me. But so I don't know about 5 years. I could be dead 5 years from now.
Oh, no.
You could be at my funeral 5 years from now.
Well, at least I'm invited, I guess. But it'd be 20 years.
You and you have two kids by then. You come in with your wife and kids. Your wife will do a painting of me for my funeral over the casket. Anyway, yeah. I'm just kidding.
No.
All right, what about this big real estate event you're having? What's the story?
All right, December 6th, 7th, we're going to have a bunch of people come in, basically all real estate professionals. We want you to come out to talk about the good and bad in real estate. We'll have a CPA come, and then I'm going to talk about creative real estate investing. Have you ever bought anything with creative financing?
Creative financing.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it depends what you call creative financing. I mean, listen, if you ain't got much money and you come up with a creative way that's going to get the job done, mm-hmm. that's great. All right? But me, I kind of went at it the more traditional way.
Traditional, yeah.
All right? I started out with a hard money lender. Why? Because I was in my 20s. Nobody wanted to loan me money and I have a good stable income.
Yeah.
But I found a hard money lender. He knew the game. He knew about me. He saw what I was doing. It made sense to him. He loaned me the money. Then, he was a great broker, you know why? Because he'd loan me the hard money first. Then, once I got in there and stabilized the deal, he refinanced it to a C lender.
Okay.
Then, after it was seasoned for maybe 6 months or more, he refinanced me again and give me all the cash out of it.
The Burr strategy.
I make money.
Yeah.
Borrow money is a non-taxable event. I learned that at a very early age. You can borrow money from the bank you want. You ain't paying tax on that money.
That's right. Then you took that money and
I just recycled all that money. Every dollar I could get my hands on when I was in my 20s, I didn't touch it. I just recycled it. I'd refinance. I'd go out and buy something else. I was always keeping that money at work, you know, trying to build it up. So basically, I always went that route. And then I remember being so, you know, starting out, that I had a reputation of knowing what I was doing for other people. Mm-hmm. People would hire me to help them with their properties, manage them, lease them, get them fixed, things like that. Mm-hmm. And in my world, I was known, but I wasn't an owner. I was only somebody that would, like, you know, get the job done for them, and they pay me. So basically, and I helped him with his properties.
Yeah.
Okay? So basically, he loaned me the money, all the money, 100%. You know, if I had it, I put my 20% down or whatever, or 10% down. Mm-hmm. Anyway, long story short, he do about three loans for me, and then I'd still be cash flowing at the end with all my money in my pocket, then some. Mm-hmm. And it was a great thing. But I went that route, you know, and then eventually, when I got big enough, you know, I started with him, then we went to C lender, B lender, A lender. By the time I got to the B lenders, I started doing it myself, because now I could walk into a bank and say, hey, you know, I meet the B lender's requirements and I can borrow money on my own. You know, so, you know, Anyway, that's the way I went. You grow in lending. As far as creative financing, typically you do creative financing if it makes sense, you know. Mm-hmm. Any way you can get the deal and make a profit, that's all that matters. I have done some creative deals. I've done subject twos. I've told people back when I was young, I got lucky. People come in and say, I can't deal with this place no more. You know, and they throw me the keys. I'd have to go to the title company, sign over the deed to me, and they'd just give it to me, but I took it with the loan.
Yeah.
I took it subject to their existing financing. Mm-hmm. That was fine. And then I'd go ahead, fix the place up, refinance it, pay off that lender, or sell the property, whatever, you know. So, you know, if you can come up with a creative way that works for everybody, sell the financing is great. You seem to be very good at that, you know. And because you know why you get that on the face, kind of, you know.
The southern.
If your eyes were a little bigger, you got some Asian in you, right?
I do, half Asian.
Yeah, yeah. The Asian kind of makes you a little sneaky, but that's the only sneaky part about you because your eyes are like this.
Yes,
but
sir.
But typically, you know, a clean-cut guy, you got that whole Georgia southern charm. You know, you got that, you know, the clean-cut look.
No, what I like is I don't like any gray areas. I like black and white. So usually I like the win-win for the seller and me. So for example, we bought apartments. The seller's basis was $1.5 million, but he doesn't want to do any more 1031 and he's out. His kids just, he don't want to pass it on to him. Kind of like what you said. So what it ended up happening is he wanted to sell it for $6 million. We got him to 5.3 million and I was able to buy it seller financing because he had it paid off. But what that does is he doesn't have to worry about the capital gains tax hit right now. If I buy interest only. So I was able to get in there and get it with no money down. And,
yeah, but
and
he'll pay 37% on the interest that you're paying him.
Yeah. So, but it's no different
with
than rent.
No way
though.
To depreciate it.
But no thing with rent though. So that's what I was hoping.
If it works for both sides, it's great.
Yeah.
He's happy, you're happy. Me, I keep it clean cut. My way is I go to the bank and I say, here's the property I'm buying. Can you give me 80% of it?
Yeah.
They're putting in most of the money. At what rate, at what terms. Make me a good deal. I take the money, I put my 20% in.
Do you do any of the Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, or do you just always do 20-year? Yeah, you like the 20-year.
Fannie Freddie's not bad. You know, it depends on your situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if you're afraid that you know, the deal might go belly up, or God forbid something happens, and you want, you know, you or your kids to be on the hook for that loan, you can walk away from a Freddie Fannie. But there's a lot of other reporting and a lot of escrows and all those other sometimes a lot of prepayment penalties involved. So it's not really for me, but I would consider it on the right deal. Mm-hmm. If I knew I was going to hold this asset for the next 10 years and it was non-recourse and it was a triple net or something like that, maybe I don't really do triple nets. Anyway, it depends on the asset, but everything works as long as it works.
On hotels, did you do CMBS loans or you did the same thing 20 years?
I don't use CMBS on hotels. Really.
Yeah. Okay.
You can maybe. There's a market, I'm sure, out there, but they don't give you a lot of LTV. Mm-hmm. I grew to the point of having a very strong relationship with any bank. Any bank. Okay. Yeah. Because why? Because I got a financial statement that shows them, you know, and I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, this is how you have to deal with the banks.
Yeah.
When I come to a bank and give them a loan, I'm doing them a favor.
You are. No strong
risk.
Credit.
I got plenty of liquid assets. I got stocks, I got bonds, I got equity and real estate. Mm-hmm. I don't need your money. I just want it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm doing you a favor. So that's the difference when you work your way up to that level. Or if you can show the bank, you know, who you are and that you're somebody that's low risk. I personally guarantee every single loan I do.
Yeah. And they appreciate
it. So they know. Well, he's got money. If he can't pay the money, if it goes bad, he's going to write us a check and there you go. He can cover. He's strong. He's a big boy. Mm-hmm. So anyway, everybody's got their level of, you know, relationship with the bank, and everybody has different risk in the eyes of the bank. You have to show them that you're not a high risk.
That's right.
You know, and then they're going to play ball with you. Interest only. That's the way I go on everything.
And you keep most of your liquidity in muni bonds, you said?
Right now, I converted. I got a plan with stocks. I ain't got time for that. You know, I stick to tax-free muni bonds. Muni bonds are muni bond funds.
Yeah.
You know, some of them I got, you know, all over the board, but on average, they're close to 5% tax-free. The funds pay you monthly, and they're 5% monthly.
Oh, I didn't know they paid monthly.
The funds pay monthly, not the bonds. The bonds the pay about twice a year. Mm-hmm. But the funds pay monthly if you go with a big fund. And that's the companies that are managing hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars worth of municipal funds all over the country. So, you know, it's a safe place to be. They never go bad. They're going to be worth what you paid for them when the time is up 10, 15, 20 years from now. They're going to give you a tax-free income. You know, if you put your money in a money market right now, 5%, you still got to pay 37% tax if you're in my bracket.
That's right.
So you're really not getting 5%. You're only getting 3%.
Mm-hmm. So whenever you started getting up to the next level, what was the first people you brought in on your team? Like, I don't know if it was an accountant or whatever. Like, what did you bring on your in-house team?
I mean,
team?
You know, over time, we've had people, as we grew, we hired more people. You know, I don't know how many bookkeepers, and my kids got working for them now. We got bookkeepers on site. We got them off site. Mm-hmm. We got all kinds of, you know, as you grow, you have to have enough people to handle the workload. Mm-hmm. You know, at one time, if you want to count dishwashers, housekeepers, and front desk people and everybody, not too long ago, I had about 800 employees.
That's crazy.
Every 2 weeks, you got to have that payroll of 800 employees.
That's a lot of turnaround too, right?
I mean, you know, people always in and out, you know, here today, gone tomorrow, whatever. But, you know, it's a machine. You got to keep all the parts squeaky, oiled, and all that to keep the machine running.
Yeah. What is it for you for the importance of a mentor? Like, who is your mentor and how do they help you?
I mean, the mentor stuff is great, you know, somebody to kind of guide you in the right direction. But, I mean, I had a guy, I managed property for him, and then we became partners. And eventually he retired and I grew way bigger than him. I mean, he kind of, he didn't really show me, he showed me the ropes about banking, yes. As far as being, getting your hands dirty, no.
He didn't show you.
Okay. I got my hands dirty. He basically opened the door and gave me the opportunity.
Okay.
And I took the ball around with it. He was like a big shot guy. He, a great guy, don't get me wrong, a father to me. We traveled all over, but you know, he was more like, you know, when it came time to do the dirty work, he was in his fancy car on a plane.
And you was on the front.
Traveling around the world or building his mansions. Well, I was in the hood. But, you know, I paid a price. And that's why I grew bigger than him, because I you know, I covered all the bases. Mm-hmm. But a mentor is good. Listen, if you benefit from listening to somebody or meeting, talking to somebody or working with somebody, then do it. You know, especially new real estate agents. If you're a new real estate agent, go into an office and work on a team. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, what keeps you going every day? Like, here's one thing. You said motivation earlier. I think that discipline is more important than motivation. What keeps you, like, growing?
I mean, it's all an emotional, you know,
it's
thing.
Tough.
I mean, you know, it's a combination of a lot of things. I mean, the point is that, you know, I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking about what the f*** do I have to do today?
Yeah.
And that's important. Everything has to be prioritized. What are it's like putting out fires. You're constantly putting out fires. That's what you go, well, what's the biggest fire burning? Okay, right. You got to start with the biggest fire, get that fire under control. Then you start hitting the little fires. Mm-hmm. And then you start thinking about other firemen you can call to put out the fires with you, for you. You know, I get on the phone in the morning, call my son up and say, okay, what are we doing about this? What about that? What about that? Basically, by me asking him about it, puts it on his responsibility. You know, that's what you do it. You know, it's just a matter of getting done. If there's something you can humanly possibly get done, get it done. All right? If it takes money, then get it done quick.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
That's fine. Do you think that you're going to end up selling everything and putting it all in the triple net lease stuff then?
No. Well, my kids want opportunity. They're hungry.
Yeah.
You know, the triple net's
kind of boring.
You buy and forget about it.
Yeah.
Unless you start buying shopping centers with empty space and all that. But listen, they like apartments. Apartments have been our sweet spot. Can we do everything else? Yeah, we can do it. Mm-hmm. We do retail. We got big shopping centers for $50 million in Orlando. We got, you know, big shop power centers all over the place. All the name brands you want. They got their, you know, problems, you know, different type of problems, you know, especially dealing with corporate. Oh, my God, you deal with corporate, you know, it gets tough. It's not like you're dealing with just a tenant living in your apartment. So every type of aspect of real estate has its different issues.
Yeah.
But apartments is pretty much what they like, I think.
Yeah. And last time I was here, you were talking about moving stuff possibly into trusts.
Moving to trust. Well, I'm looking at that, but it doesn't work for everybody. Then what kind of trust?
Yeah.
And then, you know, depending on your basis. The problem is if you put them in a trust, then they inherit your basis. Well, I don't want to put them in the same shoes I'm in.
Yeah.
If you just leave it to them, they can step up basis, or your wife can step
up
basis.
How much does it step up?
Step up means if I have a property where my basis is only $2 million, it's a $10 million property. If I die tomorrow, my kids get it, or my wife gets it, it's worth $10 million on, you know, you don't pay nothing. You don't pay no capital gains tax.
Yeah.
Kids don't have to pay inheritance tax. That's the problem.
How much is that?
I think it'll be, but it's based on the equity, I believe. So if there's only $1 million worth of equity in a $10 million property, they only got to pay tax on $1 million, which is 40%, which is $400,000.
Wow.
Or, I don't know, I'm still working on that. The hurricane came in for my whole life.
Yeah.
Everything I was working on, my trust, I'm working on selling properties, I'm working on everything I had to be working on, and this hurricane comes in and everything up.
Man,
and caused another big fire.
Yeah.
So, you know, right here, I'm working on these fires, trust, selling a hotel, selling this place, refinancing over here, rehabbing a new hotel we just bought by the Moffitt Cancer Hospital. And then all of a sudden, two big fires pop up, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. All right. So I'm sorry. I'm trying to knock out some of these.
We're having a big show, right?
We're having a big show
okay,
in December.
Okay, how much are the tickets?
They're 300 and up. So we're going to give you a promo code for your people, though.
All right. So basically, if somebody wants to come to the show, you can have all these type of people there that can educate people, motivate people. It's going to be a real estate gathering.
Absolutely.
You know, you got to get in your own space. Yeah. Get in the space you want to be in. You want to be around people that talk real estate, know real estate. You know, you can listen to what other people are doing. You can talk about what you're doing. You can make connections. You know, I mean, that's what these things are great. I love these type of events.
Yeah.
So number one, how does somebody get a ticket?
So they're going to go to our website. It's at AtlantaAnnualRealEstateConference.com, Ben.
Go to AtlantaAnnualRealEstateConference. That's a lot, all spelled out.
.com. We'll put a link in the description down below, but you get a promo code.
All right,
code,
so you're having this event in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And it's going to be where?
It's going to be Atlanta, Georgia at the Courtland Grand.
We're going to be in Atlanta, Georgia at the Courtland Grand on December 6th and 7th.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going
to
be fun.
And,
yeah.
All right. Click the link below. Get a ticket. It's going to be a
two-day event. Two-day event. And on Saturday, we have a mansion party just with me and you and a few other speakers. It'll be fun.
And what night is that?
That's on Saturday night.
Same location?
No, we're going to do it at a mansion.
At a mansion?
Yes, sir. Not as big as this one.
I've never been in a mansion before.
Maybe not an Atlanta mansion.
All right. The biggest question is there any food involved?
There's some food.
There's some food. We're going to have
we'll sandwiches. Have some food, fun. You'll meet future partners, lenders, insurance people, brokers. Everyone will be there.
I'll be happy to help everyone that attends.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
You're going to walk around and meet everyone?
Atlanta.
You can walk around and meet everyone.
Is it safe? I had to bring a gun.
It is safe. We'll have guarded security too, but it'll be safe.
I'm not talking about the people at the conferences. Atlanta is getting a tough town. Atlanta's got some rough areas, let's face it.
I watched
Atlanta Housewives. That's getting better. All right, yeah. So you got the conference coming up in December. Mm-hmm. All right, we got to gear up for that. And what else?
We have the mansion party, like I said.
And the mansion party.
Yeah.
Very good.
And then also you're going to give away 3 Consult with Bens.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So.
And maybe we'll come up with some more stuff.
Absolutely. I think it'll be fun.
All right. What else are we going to talk
about?
Are
you going to bring the whole family, by the way?
I mean, I typically don't drag everybody. It's, especially right now, with all this going on.
Oh,
typically,
yeah,
me and my wife and Rafal, maybe my teenager or son.
Well, that'd be fun.
They're my support staff.
Yeah. Now, we look forward to having you up there in Atlanta. Do you ever go to Atlanta unless it's just for a conference or something?
Do I fly over when I go to Greensboro? No, I don't get to Atlanta.
That's
closer than Atlanta, right?
I don't know. Where is Greensboro?
Near Oconee Lake. That's the
place that's nice
that
area.
I hate. Yeah. Where I'm going in Atlanta and staying in a friggin' trailer in the woods, there's a Ritz-Carlton on Oconee Lake 20 miles away.
And y'all stay in
and
the
I heard it's one of the nicest Ritz-Carltons there are.
They say it's
and
pretty
I
nice.
Can't stay there. Because I got 3 kids.
So what are you guys going to do there? You said shoot guns.
Friggin' trailer.
Shoot guns.
Shoot guns. Off-roading. And those side-by-sides. Cook whole pigs on the grill. Shoot whatever. Golf. Hit golf balls. Chase cows. All that country you people do.
So your kids have a little redneck in them.
Oh, they got a lot in them. They love it. They love it.
Well, that's good. Well, what do you guys do for fun other than just business here? What do you guys do for fun?
I like to be on my boat. I like to go on my boat.
What kind of boat do you have?
I have an 84, which I extended it to an 87. Maiora Italiano. Yeah. All right, it's an 85, 7-foot boat. And I get out in that boat and just cruise, baby. Hit the Bahamas, jump around the islands, maybe hit Miami, maybe hit Palm Beach, maybe hit Jupiter, maybe hit Fort Lauderdale, maybe go, who cares? There's 100 different Bahamian islands you can go to and pull in. You got all the amenities of home there. I got my bedroom, I got my living room, my kitchen, you got everything. Traveling with your own comfortable home. And you put little boats and toys in the water. Mm. What else can you ask for?
And they say boats are super expensive to maintain, though. What's the maintenance
life is expensive.
Like?
The more you know, I mean, everything's expensive, you know. But yeah, boats are maintaining. You're maintaining something you're living in and traveling in on the water with generators, making water, sewage systems. It's a whole floating plant you're operating with all the comforts of home.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, but, you know, it is what it is. It's not as bad as people say. It depends. You know, if you know how to work things and you got a budget and you got people helping you that ain't ripping you off, like my captain's pretty good. He's a pain in the ass, but he's good at fixing. You know, yeah. A lot of captains don't want to fix. He'll get down there. He'll look it up. He'll figure it out. He'll buy a part. And it'll save you a bunch of money in the maintenance.
You know,
right now, the boat's sitting in my back of my house getting out 1,000-hour engine service. The generators are going through. The AC system's going through. I don't think the thing's got like 10 ACs on it. You know, that's like a whole AC plant to run all these ACs. And,
wow. What'd y'all do with the boat during the hurricane?
It was safe where my house is in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
Where my house in Fort Lauderdale. It's on a finger off the intercoastal. It's fine.
Man, I'm going to have to go see that one day.
There you go.
You going to take me on the boat one day?
Sure. Me, Kevin came on it.
Oh, really? Did you
have
fun?
That was his wedding gift. He got married.
On the boat?
I didn't tell him that. He's getting married. He's not as big as me, Kevin. If I go on me, Kevin's channel, I get a lot of views. Not me, Kevin.
Graham Stephan.
Graham Stephan got married? I get my Kevins and Stephans mixed up, all you YouTube guys. But Graham Stephan got married, and him and his wife, and me and my wife, we went out and cruised the Bahamas and had a great time.
Oh, that's fun.
It was an episode.
I'm going to have to watch. Yeah, I've been busy. These must be recent videos I missed. We've been traveling a lot, preparing for the wedding. We moved too, so it's been crazy. Yeah.
But anyway, so what else you got cooking, Cookie?
Well, like I said, I'm trying to transition out of single family homes. I'm trying to grow into the multifamily. It's just hard to find a good deal. And then I'm trying to do personal branding, catch up to you. So if you have any advice for me on how to build my channel, get sponsors like you? And
I mean, if you want to grow your channel, you got to have content. My content's a little different. You know, I'm a little different.
I like it.
I'm glad people like it and I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, I go out and work on what I own and what I'm looking to buy. And I just take the camera with us. We drag the Pollock with us and we let him film and we just do what we do. I'm not fake, you know, it's not no show up at all. We just, you know, that's what we got. That's what we do. Everybody's got to kind of find what they are good at and what's interesting, what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and think about how it's, you know, the content, you know, either entertains people or benefits them educational wise or, you know.
Mm. Well, actually, we had a few questions that I asked people, what do you want me to ask Ben Mala? So do you mind if I ask you some of the questions?
Throw them at me.
This guy's name is Colin White.
Colin White.
Yes, sir. And he says, has your blunt and straightforward personality negatively impacted deals when it comes to negotiating?
I mean, it could, but basically this is what I do. Mm-hmm. When I'm doing a deal or any kind of transaction with somebody, I don't care if I'm buying a house, buying a car, buying a boat, mm-hmm. or negotiating anything. Mm-hmm. You got to feel out the person you're talking to.
That's right.
I might come to them in a joking way. I might come to them really, you know, you got to feel them out and say, well, what's going to work on this person? You got to be able to adapt yourself to the person you're interacting with. So you guys can get on the same line and same page. So a lot of times I come across people and these people got no sense of humor. They're like, I got to be careful with this person. Or they're looking for a fight. I can always tell when somebody wants the type of person they want to really in the fight real quick. Then I kiss their ass.
Okay.
I do everything I can do, you know, when I'm dealing with a situation, no matter what it is, to try to relate to the person, all right? Mm-hmm. Line yourself up, match up to that person on what's going to work. If he's a tough guy, two tough guys don't work, trust me.
So you got to
cut. All right, it don't work that way.
Okay.
You know, I'll kiss his ass. All right, if it's somebody that's kind of weak, you know, and then a lot of weak people actually like it when you're tough. You know, they like it. They kind of like feel like they feel like they're absorbing the toughness. Hmm. You know, I noticed that with people like this new camera guy here, you know, but they enjoy it. Yeah. Some people just like enjoy abuse. He likes to be abused. So let's see how many marks he got on his back. You know, you gotta understand it's human to human. Mm-hmm. So you gotta kind of be able to adjust your portfolio to the situation.
That's right. No, that's great. It's actually okay. So Joseph, my brother, actually had a question. He says, who do you go to for help when making decisions or when you need mentorship? Who do you go to?
Google. I Google it. I Google everything. I got this guy that works for me. He's a great employee. He's been with me over 20 years, Paulie. He's on the road right now, driving 3-5 hours to apartment buildings, fixing roofs, getting everything done, manager. He Googles, or, you know, Siri. He asks Siri everything in the world. All right, Siri, what about this? Siri, what about that? He lives on this. But I do Google others. I mean, honestly, I try to seek out, when I have a problem, I seek out the professional person in that area or field or, you know, like if I have a problem with something that requires a lawyer, I'm going to go to a lawyer. And I'm going to go to the type of lawyer I need to go to. It ain't going to be the same lawyer every time. I might include my general counsel, but we're going to find a specialist. It's always best. It's like, you know, if you want something done, you want a specialist. You're not going to hire a painter to put a floor in. You want to find somebody that specializes in your problem. And that's the person that has a history of solving those problems or dealing with them. Accounting, legal, whatever. Construction, whatever. You know, go to people that are doing it, that live and eat and breathe it.
Okay. So go to the best in that area.
Find a professional.
Okay.
You know, you can't just go to one person for everything. It doesn't work that way.
Okay. I mean, do you have anyone like as far as real estate that you look up to that you like, hey, I'm trying to copy what they're doing?
No. I mean, who am I going to look up to? Donald Trump? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. He's not even in real estate anymore. I never really followed anybody. I just rather just get in my hands dirty and always seek professional guidance from the people in that business.
That's right.
You know, if I want to build a building, I'm going to talk to people that build buildings, right?
Yeah, I always told people that whenever they're learning real estate, if they'll just do 100 phone calls to brokers and sellers, they'll learn more doing that than just listening to any guru.
Issue or your problem and take it to a person that knows what they're talking about.
Exactly. All right, so we have, kind of answered this one, but Tim Stone, he works for us. He says, why was building a personal brand important to you?
I mean, I built a personal brand, I guess, but I didn't really look at it as building a personal brand. I mean, I basically, if something works, I work it, you know, and I definitely enjoy it. I don't enjoy all the free meals I get in restaurants a lot of times. Seriously, I go to a delicatessen. I go to 3 different delicatessens in Fort Lauderdale and eat for free, baby.
Wow.
And they give me food to take home.
That's a good perk right there, actually.
Yeah, great perks. Oh, yeah. If somebody recognizes me and it's like a line or anything like that, that's gold.
You get recognized pretty often, I think.
All over the world. I've been to other countries.
How does that feel? Does that feel great?
Very, very. It's the highest
compliment
and an appreciation I could get. Especially, you know. I mean, come on. You know, we all live our life. I actually, you know, can say that strangers know of me and enjoy watching the content or benefited from it. I feel like I really did something in life.
You did.
You know? And, you know, for somebody I don't even know, to come up and know me and want a picture, I mean, what a big compliment can you pay somebody? You didn't ask them for a picture.
Yeah.
You know, so I definitely, definitely enjoy it. But as far as building a brand, yeah, we like building a brand. And once you get started and you see that something works with anything in life, you want to keep trying to make it grow and bigger. You know, you're only here for a short period of time. You know, clock's ticking on all of us, you know. But so, you know, make the most of your time while you're here and do as much as you can.
That's actually one of the next questions. What kind of legacy are you wanting to leave behind? Like years whenever you do pass one day in the future?
I mean, I just want to leave everybody in good shape and leave my kids in a position where they keep growing and their kids will be all right, you know. And, you know, make sure I protect the people that protected me while I was here.
No, that's amazing. Yeah, and it looks like all your staff have been with you for a long time, too. So you treat everyone like family, it seems.
We're very close to the people we work with. Sometimes it works out mostly, but sometimes it don't. People come and go.
See the smile from Rafal.
Rafal, I don't know. He's still on the fence. No, Rafal's different. It's not Rafal's fault. He's not American. You don't really get it.
Another one is, this is from Joyce. She also is my personal assistant. She said, if you had to start with zero, what would you do to get back to where you are today?
Back where I'm at today, that'd be a tough one. But it took me 30 years.
That's true.
But first thing I would do is I would line myself up to, listen, let's face it, okay? Real estate's not that hard.
It's not.
No offense, but you're no genius and I'm a genius. All right? You find a deal, and it's easy to tell what a deal is. Because you find something for X amount of dollars, you put some money into it, you fix it up, it's worth more money. Uh-huh. All right? It's A, B, C equals D. Whatever. All right? It's not that hard. You see something up, you fix it up, it's back to worth more money.
That's okay? Fine.
You got to find the money to do it. You got to line yourself up. If you got to start today with nothing, at least get yourself to the level of getting an FHA loan. Everyone in this country that's got a job and got an income, mm-hmm. some sort of decent income and halfway decent credit, you only need like a 580, mm-hmm. can get an FHA loan.
It's
3.5% down. Mm-hmm. You can go up to a fourplex on it. Why pay rent somewhere where you can buy the fourplex? The rent the fourplex is collecting qualifies for the loan.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So why not stop renting, mm-hmm. buy a fourplex, and rent three other apartments? And now I talk to guys all the time. How much are you paying for rent, young guys? Oh, I'm paying $2,000 a month. Oh, I'm paying $2,500 a month. All right. If you went out and found a decent deal on a fourplex, you could, at a minimum, you'll eliminate your housing expense. That's $30,000 a year you just saved, mm-hmm. because the other three apartments are paying the mortgage, taxes, and insurance. Now you're living here for free. Mm-hmm. You're saving $30,000 a year, making $30,000 a year, right?
That's right.
That's what I try to tell a lot of young guys. You don't need a house when you're in your 20s. House ain't going to produce no income. You got no wife. You got no kids. What the fuck are you doing? Go buy a fourplex. You can do it with 3.5% down. Mm-hmm. You know, can't find a fourplex, find a triplex. Do something.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need a house at 24 years old or whatever, 3 years old.
Yeah. Do you think that everyone can be an entrepreneur?
You got to have the desire. You got to want it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, you know, you got to get it in your brain. Mm-hmm. That I want to do something on my own. I don't want to work for somebody else getting a paycheck. Mm-hmm. I want something that I can physically, you know, grow. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have a career and a job and then do entrepreneurship on the side too. You know, mm-hmm. but whatever you know, it depends on the person. Listen, mm-hmm. the world needs dishwashers. Let's face the fact.
That's true. That's true.
All right? We can't survive with all the people that don't go out and do all these things and make mm-hmm. all this money. Mm-hmm. We need these people. The world's mm-hmm. a combination of different type people. But if you're one of the people that desire all the riches and fancy and wealth and have a, you know, accomplishments is a big part. It's not just money. It's accomplishments.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're that type of person, then get your ass out and do it, because plenty of people have done it with nothing like me. Mm-hmm. You know, but you have to be that type of person. Listen, I got so many people that work for me. I got relatives. I beg them. I look at them. I say, these people can be multimillionaires. I'm willing to help them. Yeah. They don't do it. They don't get it. And I still love them, and they still work for me, but they're never going to have much in life. And they're content. And you know what? Yeah. If they're happy, then God bless
them. That's success in their own way.
God bless them.
Yeah.
If they're more happier, you know, I neglected my kids when they were young. I didn't take them to Little League and all that stupid old job. I got time for that, you know? But I did it so I could help them when they were older. You know, mm-hmm. I sacrificed being a great dad when I was young, you know, so they could benefit when they're older. To create a legacy, mm-hmm. not just live for that moment in time, live for the future. Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, it all depends on the person.
Yeah.
You know, listen, if somebody, I meet people all the time. I meet guys that are janitors. I don't give a, if you're a nice person and you don't hurt nobody, I'm great. You know, if you're mm-hmm. happy, that's all that matters. Be happy, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I think that's success there if they're happy, yeah.
You know, you may never buy an apartment building. Yeah. You may be in single family homes the rest of your life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm just joking. He doesn't know what I'm joking. And that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You could be the king of homes, baby. You know, maybe you should sell every home to the tenant. You ever think about doing that?
That we have. We built a pathway to home ownership.
You go constantly. Get to know your tenants. Mm-hmm. You know, say, find out. You got all their records showing what they make. You got their credit report, right?
That's right.
See who qualifies for FHA. Then go find some FHA broker and say, here, go hit all these tenants and get them loans for me.
That's a great idea, too. Yeah.
Let him work them for you. Find out who qualifies. Find out who you get a loan for and get them qualified and sell them off to the tenants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do some lease
options. Now you're helping people. Mm-hmm. You're unloading the real estate. You know, and you can charge them a top dollar retail price.
Yeah.
And you can, I can't tell you on camera. I'll tell you later.
Okay. Oh, we'll cut that part out if we need to. No, we do lease options.
What's three? How much the average house can sell for?
Huh?
How much one of your average price of one of your houses? Two?
250? The 320.
All right.
Yeah.
What is 3.5% on 250?
Yeah, not bad. Like 10, 9,000 closing costs, maybe 14. Ish still need
3.5% is $3,500 on every 100,000. $200,000 would be $7,000.
Plus closing a little.
$10,000, right?
Yeah.
Is there a difference between a house that's on that's being sold for $290,000 and $300,000?
Not really.
So if you're happy getting $290,000, you just charge $300,000.
Yeah.
Then your tenant pays
zero. Yeah. If we do lease options and build a pathway to home, we've even owner financed some properties so they can refinance later. How do you handle pressure whenever you're going through all this stuff?
How do I handle pressure?
Yeah, a lot of people get paralyzed and just give up. What do you do?
I mean, I do have a personality where, honestly, thinking back my career, the pressure actually drove me to really gave me the drive. It's like when the pressure was on, I'm ready to get busy, baby. You know, you can't just wake up and do like you thought I was doing on my bathrobe, smoking my cigarette. Mm. I got to wake up to losing millions of dollars right now in revenue and fix up and dealing with insurance companies and all this, get these hotels open. I ain't got time. You know, yeah. I mean, I can't have a breakdown either, you know, because that ain't going to help.
Yeah, some people freeze, though. Like
freeze? Yeah. If you freeze, you go, it's just not me. You can't. You listen, when things get tough, you got to deal with it. Anyway, you don't say, when it gets tough, the tough get going. Yeah.
I always think about
when
it.
Going like, gets tough, the tough get going.
If you get in like a survivor mindset, I feel like that's what drives people to go.
I mean, you're surviving. You do whatever you got to do to survive, you know?
Yeah.
The point is, when you have problems, you have to figure out the simplest, smartest way to solve those problems.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Mm-hmm. Always use logic. My whole life is based on logic.
Yeah.
Everything in my brain has to process in a logic way, like a computer almost, or whatever. I don't know. Has to make sense. You know, my brain is just thinking about it, you know? And if it don't make sense or if it's not something that can be proven, it doesn't process.
Absolutely, yeah.
I got to see it to believe it, and I got to know it to be a fact.
Absolutely.
Okay, because that's logical to me.
Yeah. Well, Ben, I'm excited to have you come out in December. Hopefully, we'll have you in April, too. Can you tell everyone where they can find you online?
Go to BenMallow.com. Consult with Ben. Get a ticket. Go to our event in Atlanta. Click the link below. Get your ticket. Let's go out there and make some money, baby.
All right, Ben, you're going to be coming to the Real Estate Conference December 6th and 7th. What are you going to be talking about?
We're going to talk about everything, the good, the bad, and even the ugly.
Oh, man. So also, people, if you guys want to come, make sure you guys use promo code BenMala to get 20% off on the tickets. Make sure to check out Ben's page, too, at BenMala.
And don't forget, you get a chance to get a free consult with me so we can talk about your real estate.
Yeah. If you want a free consult with Ben, make sure to follow me on Instagram at Shane So. Go to the picture with me and Ben and comment why you should get a free consult with Ben with him.
Adios, amigos. Don't forget, be there.